Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this day is recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and reads from the 18th to the 22nd verses in these words. Now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So far, our text. My dear Christian friends, a warm welcome to all of you who join us at this opening service of the 149th academic year of our seminary's existence. We certainly are happy to see the familiar faces of those who are returning and the families who have joined them, and are delighted to have the new members of the first-year class with us on this occasion. We pray that God will bless our work together in the months ahead, seminarians, professors, and staff. The year promises to be a very happy one, especially also as we make preparation for the 150th anniversary of the seminary's existence here in now in Fort Wayne. A sobering determination to be about the Father's business possesses our hearts as we gather at this time. We have been listening to the TV and news reports over the radio and consulted the local papers. Last week, toward the end, we had the electrifying report that there was a terrible plane crash near Pittsburgh International Airport. 132 lives were instantly snuffed out. We have had regularly reported to us the terrible plight and the mass deaths overseas of people in many countries, like Rwanda and Somalia. And we've had the reports of the threats of famine and death by disease in many other places on the face of the earth. And so a sense of urgency overtakes us as we come together as a seminary family and prepare for our work in this new year. We thank the Lord that He has brought to our campus hundreds of men who are now preparing for the ministry and to launch out into the world, which desperately needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ before death overtakes so many and they pass into a Christless eternity of doom and damnation. We thank you, brothers, for your devotion in returning to the seminary and making the seminary your home for the first time, and would encourage you to consider the words of our text for your strengthening at this time, particularly the words of the theme for our 149th academic year, the words of Jesus spoken to the fishermen at the Sea of Galilee, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." May the Holy Spirit bless our meditation. Now, these words were spoken by Jesus at the beginning of his ministry when he was gathering his disciples. And the disciples, hearing these words, responded, we note, with alacrity, forsaking all that they had there to follow Jesus. Partial explanation for their ability immediately to respond in this way is that they had become acquainted with the Lord Jesus earlier on, and that he had met them in Judea, probably acquainted them with the plans he had for them and the close relationship that they would establish later on, and at the right time then he would summon them for this activity. And so now the summons came, they were ready to proceed and to leave all and to follow him. Now this directive, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, is one which Jesus, of course, directed to those who were specially chosen by him for particular ministries and for commissioned tasks of a special kind. They were to become apostles. Can we rightly and confidently apply such words also to you, brethren, who are studying now for the ministry, and encourage you to follow Christ and say he will make you fishers of men? As we analyze the text and consult other scriptures, we may answer in the positive and the affirmative and say, yes, indeed. These words can be meant for you too. Consider the following. The Lord Jesus Christ today supplies preachers for his Christian church all over the world, just as he has in past generations and will continue until the end of time. He summons men from all walks of life, and he gives them the holy impulse to think of serving him professionally in the ministry, and leads them into training and education so that they can carry out future pastoral assignments. He has placed in you men, represented here today in our student body, the holy desire to seek the ministerial position. And about this matter, Paul wrote, if a man seeks or aspires to the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, the Lord doesn't call people directly today with his viva voce, his live voice, as he did the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. But he speaks to us through the encouragement of the Spirit and the Word, and kindles that desire within to serve him professionally. And then he causes us to be brought to a place of learning and training for such ministry. There is no other pattern for the training of ministers than the one that the Savior announces for the disciples here at Galilee. Then to follow him, and as a result, they will become fishers of men. Our experience is that when qualified persons come to this place of learning and follow the Savior, then in the course of things, they do become fishers of men, pastors and missionaries in the various places to which the Lord leads them. Pastors and missionaries. The Lord does this through your receiving the word in your private devotions, which continue, but especially because of the classroom teaching that is undertaken here. When professors carefully and accurately expound the word of the Savior, those first disciples followed Jesus physically and listened to him speak to multitudes, to individuals, to small groups. They adhered especially to his words as spoken to them, the smaller band of the 12 who were to become his apostles. And they loved the Savior and carried out his precepts, and they followed his example. We hear the voice of the Savior when we listen to his word. Jesus once said to his disciples, he that heareth you heareth me. And so when we here in this campus hear the word of God carefully expounded according to the meaning the Holy Spirit has put into the sacred text, that's the same as hearing the voice of Jesus. And then we rejoice to carry out the precepts and to believe in the promises that the Holy Word presents. But now the crucial question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? To hear his word and to carry out his precepts as he has outlined them. To trust the truths and to obey the commandments. Not only receiving the word intellectually for intellectual comprehension, but so as to act upon it, being doers of that word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so what a privilege as we come together to come to an institution where that word of God is shared in various ways, in various classes every day. We urge you to make the most of your opportunities to learn that word and to carry it out even here and now and become true disciples of the Lord. Mindful of the instruction of the Old Testament writer who says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And being aware of the Savior's instruction, who says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That is, the amount of earnest and sincere attention you give to the mastery of the sacred text. That is the measure of the blessing, understanding, illumination you receive in return, and corresponding peace and power and benediction of any kind that the Savior promised to those who hear his word and keep it. Now, the blessing mentioned in our text is that those who follow the Savior in this way will become fishers of men, will become instruments in the hands of God to call people out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, fishing the way the disciples did it in Galilee, casting nets from the boat or from the shore into the sea and gathering, or using the dragnet, which several boats would pull together, or the kind of fishing we do today, the sport fishing with a rod and other paraphernalia, requires great skill. Books have been written on the subject of successful angling, and magazine articles galore have talked about the way to successful sport fishing. Many things have to be considered, such as the weather, the time of day for this kind of good fishing, the kind of tackle, bait, lures, and so on that are required, the contours of the lake, the river, or larger body of water in which the fishing is to be done, the depth that is to be observed, and so on and so forth. And certainly it takes great skill to become a successful fisher of men. And that's what you'll be learning about in the classroom opportunities and other discussion opportunities on the campus in the days ahead. Now, for example, one of the things that is absolutely necessary for successful spiritual fishing, the fishing of men, is a thorough acquaintance with the Word of God, preferably on the basis of the original languages, to understand its truths and to imbibe these in faith and to put them into action. This is absolutely essential and the basis of all the rest of the skills that we learn. And then we have to learn about the places where to fish, the places where the Lord will put us in contact with people. And today in this country, there is such a changing population. Nationalities are being brought in. And we have to learn about cross-cultural ministry and things of this time so as to be able to minister effectively, as well as for our missionaries to proceed overseas with the gospel word to bring spiritual rescue to the perishing. So many things in all the subjects that we provided, and that we continue at our work without distraction, because there are going to be so many things that will draw our attention to the ministry, and already here and now, as we have this learning opportunity, that we learn to work and not be distracted by so many things, such as a sense of our own worthiness. Who were these men that the Savior chose to be fishers of men and his first disciples? Ordinary people engaged in an ordinary occupation, but whom he would fill with his spirit and power to proclaim the word. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it is of God, who makes all of us able ministers of the New Testament at his time, in his manner, and in the field into which he places us. Well, there are so many other things that attract our attention. Sometimes worry over the things that belong to our livelihood, keeping body and soul together. Jesus took care of this apostolic band that he gathered the 12. I don't read of any concern in the Gospels that these disciples had about where their food, clothing, and shelter would come from down the pike. They simply believed that Jesus would provide, and gifts were given to the apostolic band. There was a common treasury, and things were taken care of. And that's the way the Lord wants us to proceed in our work too, not to be distracted by earthly concerns, not to worry about anything. That's a command in the Bible. Worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, says St. Paul, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all that your mind can do, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. The Savior says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, God's rule in your heart through his word, and his righteousness, the righteousness of faith and life that result, in the firm conviction that all these things necessary to keep our bodies and souls together will be abundantly provided us at his fatherly hand. And so we need but trust and to believe in this Father's care and know the truth of Paul's dictum and believe it with all our hearts when he says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus." So one, finally, we must realize that the Savior gives us his own invincible sin-defeating might, shares that with us, gives us his power to carry out these resolutions, to study and to behave in the manner that pleases him, and to work without distraction, and so on. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Not any kind of sin can reign over us. We still sin every day. We're not talking about perfectionism. But when we attack a specific sin in our lives, which detracts us from our proceeding forward in our professional work and so on, we can overcome it. St. Paul says, "I can do all things in the moral and spiritual sphere, in union with Christ who strengthens me." The horizons for spiritual accomplishment in your life and mine are literally unlimited. So then, at the beginning of this new year, let us all take heart. Let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, praising God for the opportunity of hearing his voice presented to us in his word, growing strong in the faith, producing the fruits of righteousness which glorify him, and being prepared, even now, in our field work, vicarage opportunities that will come and so on, to bring spiritual blessings, eternally enriching benedictions to many. Our words in this brief presentation have been directed chiefly to our preparing students, but the Lord speaks them also to all of us in all of our walks of life in which he has placed us. He asks us to listen to his voice daily and to carry out the assigned tasks in our particular vocation, rejoicing in him always, knowing even when trials and troubles and adversities come, he is there to preside over all and to cause it that all things work together for the good of all of us who love him. So let us, beginning this day anew, resolve to serve that beautiful Savior with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, directed to loving him, hearing him, and heeding his words, that he may be glorified, that we may be strengthened, and that many whom we are privileged to influence may be brought ever closer to that Redeemer and his kingdom in the days which lie ahead. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all that your mind can do, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.